Why, thank you. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Not trying to affect any tone or any atmosphere with that song. It just happened to be at hand, Junior Wells. I maintain my dignity even as I enjoy music like this.
Well, how do you maintain your dignity with I love the blues? Don't get me wrong.
Well, I'm just kidding when I say I've never maintained any dignity. Not so I'd notice. Anyway, welcome to the program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 855-507-445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We're also on TuneIn. Just check out the Phil Hendry channel on TuneIn, and there you will not only find our radio show, you'll also find the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is going to be a part of a larger podcast effort that we'll be making here in the month of January and beyond. As I read that comment on Facebook today from that guy who works for Tesoro Oil and had the gall to say, enough with the Bobby Dooley podcast, to which I responded, okay, then enough of you polluting the air and strangling the world's population and making billions while doing it. All right.
Yay!
You didn't say that to him, did you really?
Yes, I did, but it was a little, it was not, I didn't mean it in the way that it sounded there. I just thought, that, you know, I think it's cool that if somebody comments about you, then you return the comment in kind, you know.
Yeah, but that's different, man.
Why is it different?
Because of the fact that you're on the radio and they're not.
You see, Phil, you are a public entertainer, and so you are open to these comments. A man that is doing work for an oil company.
Yeah.
Well, he's not on a stage saying, hello, I work for an oil company.
Well, why can't you make a comment about an oil company?
I'm not saying you can't make a comment about an oil company. I'm saying a man who works for an oil company did not go into that business inviting the commentary of people.
Well, why? Just because you go into a business not, quote, inviting the commentary of people, why should that mean that you do not get the commentary of people? If you're in a business, particularly a moderately controversial business like the oil business, especially at this time in history, which, you know, I don't knock anybody making a living in the oil business. God forbid. I don't. Honest to God, I don't. It just so happens that I looked up Tesoro, as I've looked up other companies, and they've had their fair share of run-ins with the EPA and these kinds of things. And I'm not, if you really feel that big oil gets a bad rap, folks, all I got to do is, harken back to the Gulf and BP. So,
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, that's not fair of you, you know.
Why is that not fair?
Because when I think of what happened in the Gulf, my thoughts turn to strangling someone who may work for an oil company, and I don't mean literally, but that's... And I have very good feelings, and I have very good friends in the oil business. So for you to bring that up, and I want to therefore strangle someone who at one time was a very dear friend of mine.
Well, why would you want to strangle a friend of yours?
Well, that's a good point. I could strangle someone that I don't know.
Why would you want to strangle? So in other words, you go from feeling good about oil companies to strangling somebody.
Yes, I think that's what I just said. Jeez.
All right. I don't want to bring that up in you, General. God knows what will happen if you start thinking about strangling somebody.
Well, you know, I might strangle the closest person, which is you. So I'd, you know.
That's what I'm thinking. Thank you very much for that threat.
It's not a threat.
It's a promise.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, welcome to the program. So we're threatening. This is the Phil Hendry Show. If you just joined us, we threaten to strangle each other. And, oh, it's fantastic. There's fist fights that break out, belching that goes on, all kinds of marvelous things. Again, we are online and on TuneIn. And we're very excited about our TuneIn affiliation because TuneIn affords the opportunity to you and me and all of us to shake hands and smile and blow a kiss to each other wherever you are with your smartphone. You can also access our live stream on our website now, philhendryshow.com. Somebody asked me, is that a subscription? Is that part? No, it is not. The live stream of our show right now is absolutely free, of course, and it's available there on our website, as it is on a number of our radio stations that are affiliates.
Well, any radio station on is not free? God, man, you go... I didn't know what I was going to say, man.
All right, don't criticize right off the bat, bud.
You know?
Of all the people criticizing how people talk, bud.
I didn't cry, just how it goes is do, do, do. I didn't do do, do, do. I said, hey, is it free?
Yes, it's free on all our radio stations. No radio station charging. There's no radio station charging for our live stream. We don't charge for the live stream. The live stream is a live stream. It's our show. Listen to it. Enjoy it. Love it. All right. I don't know if this sort of hit me halfway through the day, and there was so much else that I was doing today, I couldn't really think about or be bothered with preparing the radio show.
Yeah, I heard that.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know something, Phil. There's a few of us around here that have been wanting to talk to you about some things. You know, you got your little TV show that you're doing, and you got your little this and your little that, and your one man this and your one man that. You've got a radio show to do.
Phil, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Oh, get out of here, meaning to talk. What are you talking? Nobody works his ass off more than I do. I work my ass off on this.
Yeah, but you all talk about doing TV. Yeah, we've been meaning to talk to you about it.
I heard that's the third time I've heard that now. You've been meaning to talk to me about what?
What kind of preparation are you putting into this program?
What are you talking about, man? You see how hard I work. I put in all kinds of preparation.
Well, the comment you made about Chris Christie and the fact that you don't know what his, excuse me for saying this, his fat ass...
That is unfair, General.
I don't care. His fat ass is up to.
All right, I'm going to look at this. And I would like and I'd appreciate you to hold your tongue. A very Jersey scandal. What are you doing, bud?
Hold my thumb.
Get out of there.
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. You think that's funny?
Yeah.
No, it ain't funny, man.
It's not. Yeah, it is. Don't you think it is, Miss Gray?
No, I don't think it's funny. I think it's stupid. I think it's borderline imbecilic. I think it's borderline village idiot.
Phil said hold your tongue, so I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
Bud, quit while you're ahead. Margaret hit it on the hit the nail. She hit it.
She hit the nail on the head?
Hit the nail on the head, yes. When she said borderline village idiot, you are the village idiot, Bud. You sit in the square, you dribble a little bit, and you go, hi, hi.
Oh, man, you're so prejudiced and everything.
I think that's a little unfair just because Bud talks like a moron, and sometimes he acts like a moron. It doesn't necessarily make him a moron. All right, a very Jersey scandal over a traffic jam is becoming a major political liability for possible presidential prospect Governor Chris Christie. The New Jersey governor on Wednesday angrily denounced his own aides for newly released emails indicating they schemed to punish a local mayor by closing lanes to the George Washington Bridge that served his town. The lane change swamped the town in traffic for 4 days. Christie said he knew nothing about the plot, but it could sour his national image as a tough-talking, problem-solving pragmatist into that of a partisan bully. Oh, boy. State Democrats are calling for a grand jury to investigate this bridge scheme, which could ensnare Christie in controversy just as he plunges into his new role as head of the Republican Governors Association and possibly lays the groundwork for a 2016 presidential run.
I think this is, you know, Chris Christie is the man that had the guts to stand with President Obama during a national disaster. And the Republicans were very upset with that. Shows you exactly what Republicans are about. Gutless, no count, two-bit.
You talk bad about it.
Why, hold on, what do you mean gutless, no count, and two-bit?
This is a man that stood with the president at a time of national emergency and took nothing. I'm telling you, gutless is the word.
Hold on. Now, let me ask you a question. If it was possible in America not to be partisan and to just look at things straight on, just look at things straight. In other words, don't think partisan at all. I don't know if that's a possible thing or not. I don't know if I'm sure there are individual Americans that do it and try to do it. But the question I have is, if it's possible to look at this in a nonpartisan way, would Chris Christie be getting any crap at all today? If he got any crap, would it be to the level that he's getting it? Would it be as vociferous, or would it be technical?
Technical crap?
Yeah, what's that?
Technical criticism, technical crap. Crap is crap. Criticism is criticism. So I'd like to have that question just rest in your brain for a moment. We'll take a break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and be back here to this terribly, terribly important and very heavy, and I'm sure I can find, oh, God knows how many people who just feel indignant and are ready to throw their guts up over what it was, what he done did.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay!
All right. You can stop now, bud. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Visit our online store. Yes, our online store, where you can get yourself Phil Hendry junk. No, we actually have our CDs are there. We have our Phil Hendry ball cap there. We have our Teds of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt, Bobby Dooley keychain. We got it all, baby, and we got it for you there. PhilHenryShow.com, including our coffee mug, too. Check it out at PhilHenryShow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com. And online, of course, at PhilHenry.com is our, tune in on our website now, man. So if you want to go to tune in, you can find it right on our website, PhilHenryShow.com. Art Griego is going to join us. Art is a retired pilot living in Santa Monica, California. And we're also going to be talking to him about this question that I put forward. And Art's going to join us to talk in terms of the local political view. The question I basically put forward was this. If we were not a partisan company, if we were not a partisan country, would we be all over Chris Christie like stink on you-know-what? You know, would we be jumping him and talking about him like he's the worst thing? Is this that big of a deal, I guess what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. When you take the politician, I admire Chris Christie, but I also, what I admire about him is his political. I don't admire his physical discipline, obviously. And a lot of women are going to hold that against him. I think it's going to hurt him in the general election. When women look at the physical discipline of a Chris Christie, and this is very difficult to say, and I would ask you, Phil, to keep a leash on this one here.
Bud, well, I didn't do anything.
I'm asking you, Phil, to keep a leash on this one here. Chris Christie is a very difficult man for a woman to vote for female voters, because when you look at him and you hear him, you're hearing a man that makes a lot of sense, no doubt. You're looking at a man that physically could hurt you. And now hold on.
What are you talking about?
Hold on, please. If a man like that lays on you, and I'm not saying anything, I'm not, what, General?
Well, you're talking about sex.
No, I am not.
All right, hold on. Well, what are you talking about?
In the general sense, General, I'm saying if that man, for whatever reason, laid on you.
Well, why would a man like that lay on you? You don't have an answer for that any more than you can tell me whether the man on the moon is interested in anything that we have to talk about, or whether or not he is, excuse me.
Yeah, get some water.
Get the general water. Is your voice cracking again, General? I mean,
well, what do you think? What did you just hear me do?
Go get...
Don't you laugh, damn you to hell.
I'm not laughing.
Good, he's out of the room, so I can get back to what I'm saying.
No, wait, hold on for a minute. You're going to have to define it for me. Lays on you. What does that mean?
I am saying in a very, very nebulous way, I'm not being specific, but women are going to look at a man like that and think, my God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You do. You think of a biblical passage. When you see a man like that and you think of the...
You talk about a guy like that going to lay on you, there's only one reason on account of he'd do that, and that's for the sexuality.
I told you to keep a leash on him.
He's being intelligent. I think his comment is very intelligent, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. The sexuality.
Tell you what, Frank just called in. I don't know why. Where's Art Griego?
I've got Art Griego on line 3.
Well, get Frank. Frank called in.
Frank called in, and I don't know why. I suspect that it's private business. Does Mr. Gray want to go on the air?
Mr. Gray, you want to go on the air? Yeah, we're on the air right now. You want to go on the air. If you're on the air. Are you on the air? How about if you go on the air?
Give me that phone, will you? Go on the air, go on the air, go on the air. God, bud. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer.
Did you want to go on the air?
No, I do not want to be on the air. So if I'm on the air right now, take my asses.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Gray, we pulled you off the air. Yeah, we had you on the air, but you didn't want to go on the air. Huh? Because you were on the air at...
Hey, Frank. I mean, sorry, Frank.
I said to get me off the...
Frank, well, you were on the air, and I apologize. I didn't mean to put you on the air. Okay? Okay, Frank? Okay? He hung up.
Yeah, let me see. Frank, are you there?
I said he hung up. God. All right, Art Griego joining us here on the Phil Henry Show from Santa Monica, California. So we just had a very interesting little bit of an exchange here, Art, about Chris Christie, and my question is, now, you know, Margaret's got this whole thing about women, female voters, you know.
Oh,
you know, I oftentimes I get a big kick out of Margaret. I understand, and she said in a nebulous sense when Chris Christie is, but I don't want people to think we're being childish here.
I am not being childish. This is a very real fear.
What is the fear?
What is the fear that you get? If a man like that lays on you, you are dead in seconds. Now, laugh if you want. And again, would you please tell him?
Bud, shut up.
I'm sorry.
Laugh if you want.
Can I ask a question here?
May I finish?
Go ahead.
Laugh if you want. But I had a very, very dear friend in school. When I went to college, I went to University of Pennsylvania. And Abigail Reese was her name, Abby Reese. We loved her dearly. She married a very big man, a big man. And we were proud of her. And she said, no, he's not a big man that way. He's big physically. She came from a very wealthy family, so she didn't need the money. But it hurt that she married a man that wasn't big in terms of money or position, that he was big. And 6 months in, he rolled over. Now, you can laugh if you want.
Shut up, bud.
You can laugh if you want, but a woman died. Is that funny to you, bud?
No, ma'am.
He rolled over.
Yes, he did. I think of that every time I look at Chris Christie. Now,
do you have anything to say about the politics? Let's just forget about whether your friend, and I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, sure.
I am very sorry to hear that, Margaret.
Right.
All right, I'm not sorry.
Well, that's at least you're being honest.
I'm going to get Art Griego back here.
No, finish your statement, Phil.
I'm very sorry about your friend. Now, if Chris Christie, if we could just talk about him politically, this whole idea of him being so large.
I'm telling you, I lost a friend of mine the night a man rolled over.
Excuse me, Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Are the vanilla wafers locked?
Yeah, I'll find them for you.
I'm sorry, Phil.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to really get pissed off here if people aren't paying attention to this show and are off getting vanilla wafers.
I apologize, Phil.
It's all right. Art, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing fine. Margaret, I didn't mean any offense. I simply said that Chris Christie is a guy that I think we need to look at, as Phil said, we need to look at the objective record here as to his politics. Now, you asked me a question. If America was not a partisan country, if we didn't think in terms of partisan politics, could we look at Chris Christie and look at that whole situation with the tickets and or the closing of the bridge, and look at it more fairly? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. And
all right, now here's my next question. If we looked at it more fairly, without the partisanship, what do you think the verdict on Chris Christie would be?
I think the verdict on Chris Christie would be probably a lot more lenient, because we all are involved in businesses. We're all involved in a business where you have somebody who works underneath you. Now, a lot of people today will tell you that you're responsible for the actions of those under you. They'll say that publicly. But I've worked for enough companies, and you have, Phil, that the people under you oftentimes are given the blame and fired. That's the corporate reality.
So you're saying that while we talk a good game...
Yeah, we talk a good game, but we don't actually go out and live it. So I think that Chris Christie would be, in an objective society, he would be judged, I think, more fairly. People would say, well, you better hire some better people. Those people got out of control. Christie would fire them. He'd bring new people in, and we'd be done with the controversy.
Well, I don't agree with that. So you just want to give a pass to a Republican, right?
No, I didn't say that.
I don't think I heard him say that. He said that he, in an objective society that wasn't partisan.
Well, you want to give a pass to a Republican?
Margaret, I just said no.
Margaret, you just said you admire Chris Christie.
I admire Chris Christie for the courageousness of the day that he stood there with President Obama, and I wasn't thinking about...
You weren't thinking about your friend Abby.
I wasn't thinking about my friend Abby.
It's very understandable.
I'm sorry. Where are the vanilla wafers again?
I hope you die.
Wait, hey, wait a second.
What happened?
Here, General, I told him. No,
She's now, everybody's all hurt and pissed off. What is it with the vanilla wafers?
I'm simply trying, if I overstep my bounds, I apologize.
No, Margaret was talking about a friend of hers that died, and you came in here with the vanilla wafers.
Oh, okay.
Art, hang on. So, we'll get further into the Chris Christie story, if we've gotten into it at all, which I seriously doubt. Apparently, there's an aide that is involved in all of the machinations, the emails, and so forth, and so on. The closing of a bridge, and now all of this visiting the governor, and as well it probably should, because, you know, the buck stops here, blah, blah, blah. And all this stuff about the, excuse me, the buck stopping here and the buck stopping there, that's fine. The buck should stop with the boss. But the reality is, folks, it doesn't. And
Phil, can I ask you one question? I'm really interested in what you're saying.
Hold on for a minute. I got to take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Herb Sewell is on our newsmaker line as well. We'll get Herb on the line. Herb does telecommuting, kind of a tele-research for a number of different institutions of higher learning. You should know that Herb is in a halfway house as a part of the prescriptions for his parole. He was in a Atascadero's forensic hospital for the, you know, that used to be called criminally insane, was there for 8 years as the result of a variety of felonies that were very serious. We don't have to go into them right now.
Dad, child molesting.
I just said we don't have to go into them right now, didn't I?
Oh, my God. You're not bringing him back on.
Yes, I am, and I've been very clear from the very beginning.
Well, you should say.
Hey, man, how about this? Here's an editorial comment from me. My right fist into your nose. How about that?
I think that's a very good one, Mr. Henry.
Do it, Henry. Do it, for God's sake. Kill him. Kill him. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just kidding, bud.
Dick's dirty pool.
I'm kidding around.
I helped you find a vanilla wafer.
Hey, forget it. Forget it. Never mind. We'll get Herb on here. Art Griego is joining us as well from the Santa Monica area, Santa Monica Airport, as a matter of fact. As we're talking here on the Phil Hendry Show about the Chris Christie controversy. All right, Herb, welcome to the program. Nice to talk with you.
Phil, I'm very, very grateful to be on with you.
And Art, are you there?
Phil, right here. And Herb, how are you?
I'm very good. The question that I've been wanting to ask...
Hold on for a minute. I just wanted to turn down a microphone pot, which made it sound really bad.
Yes, I noticed that you had the mic pot open.
Why didn't you say something to me?
Because I wanted to see how you handled it.
Oh, that's... Look at her, testing you and seeing how good you are.
Oh, that's just great.
Well, don't look at me, Phil, as if you want to paw me.
No, I can assure you I don't want to do that.
Oh, God, is that Gray? That's Margaret Gray, isn't it?
Yes, it is her, but I'd appreciate if you keep your opinion to yourself.
I'm on a talk radio program. How do I keep my opinion to myself? Ask your husband a lawyer. I keep my opinion to myself on the talk radio.
You know, I think the longer that you sit in that halfway house away from Atascadero and away from the very nice doctors up there, the more almost Moloch-like you sound.
Moloch-like, I like that. It shows you read. It shows that you read literature, H.G. Wells, whatnot, fiction, as opposed to the tripe and the claptrap and prattle that you yourself are responsible for.
Excuse me.
Wait, Margaret. This is not between you and Herb. I got Herb. I got Art. I got other things to talk about. You can call him up later and talk to him.
Oh, that's going to happen? I'm going to call that animal up? I don't think so.
Well, you know, you're always welcome to, Margaret. Whenever you want to call and have a little bit of a coffee clatch, you know, I'm more than happy to do that. But, Phil, thank you very much.
All right, Art, question for you. As we were saying, Chris Christie, if this were an objective society, if we were not a partisan society, what this has been is really much ado about nothing.
I don't know if it's much ado about nothing, but like I said, he'd be told by the American people, hey, you know, keep a better handle on your people. But I don't think there would be a call for a Senate investigation. This, first of all, has nothing to do with the federal government. This has everything to do...
Well, I think it's a Senate investigation in the state Senate. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. State Senate investigation. From the state of New Jersey.
All right. The state Senate investigation. From the state of New Jersey.
What does that mean?
Well, all right. That's not necessary. Herb has a way of speaking. If we wanted to talk like you, I guess we could talk like you, you know?
Well, how are you going to satirize the way I talk? I talk normal. I don't talk in weird.
For instance, if I wanted to sound like I had an entire ham shoved up my...
All right, we had to dump that, Herb. I hope you, understand that.
I understand. You dump what?
The whole thing about having a ham shoved.
Well, I think that's very unfair. I think it's very unfair.
Ha, ha, ha. You didn't get to have your line in. Ha, ha, ha.
You know, Herb,
Your name's Herb? My name is Herb.
Oh, your name's Herb. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, God.
These guys are out to lunch. Both of you ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
I didn't ask for this. I was born into it. First of all, I had a mother that tortured me. Secondly, I had a Tascadero hospital for the forensically mentally ill torture me. Now I'm sitting here talking to an ass on wheels by the name of Art Griego.
Well, you know what? All I did was go ha 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 because you got your name messed up.
You're the one that messed your name up, not me. All right,
gentlemen, now that we got that figured out, we're talking about Chris Christie. Now, I heard a couple of points that could have been a springboard to an interesting give and take. And one of them was that Chris Christie, and you made the point, Art, that Chris Christie, were this an objective society and not a partisan society, would probably not be punished all that much. That he would be afforded, the understanding that any head of any corporation is afforded, which is, boy, sometimes we hire bad people and they don't do the job well and you got to move them out. Is that essentially your point?
That's my point in a nutshell, yeah.
Now, you countered, Herb, with something I thought was interesting, although it's completely slipped my mind, because all this horse dung.
All right, see, so that's, I find that to be very unfair, that my point slipped your mind. But all right, I'll leave it at that. What I said was that while it's nice to think of ourselves, as a matter of fact, I didn't say this. In fact, I didn't make a point at all.
I was going to say, you didn't make any point. You were about to make a point, and then you both started going, ha, ha, ha. Isn't that right, General?
Yes, I was sitting here.
Because you've been nonstop with those Nilla wafers.
But I've been listening.
I know.
And I was sitting here, and I heard what this gentleman, Mr. Grago, said.
My name is Art Griego, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Griego said. And Mr. Sewell, is that a name?
My name is Herb Sewell. He's Art Griego.
All right, Herb Sewell. And Herb, you're in a halfway house after molesting children. Is that my understanding?
Sir, I'm in a halfway... I'm not going to talk about this, Phil. I'd be just as soon hang the phone up unless you want to talk, General, about the war crimes that you've committed and the civilians that you've butchered up.
Well, that's real interesting. That's a good fight. You want to get into it with me on that basis, huh?
If you want to start talking about my history...
That's not fair, Herb, because General Shaw has not been indicted or convicted of any crime. You may want to talk about that, but you have. He hasn't. Now, look... In about 4 minutes, I got to take another break, and it'll be one more segment that we've lost time in as I try to get to a topic, and you guys are going back and forth about who committed what crime and what a piece of crap the other one is. You guys spend more time, man, you know.
What about this you guys? I haven't been on your program in so much time.
No, I just mean in general, that people, what are you doing, bud?
I'm playing a General Shaw, you in general.
All right, we get the joke, it's cute.
Oh, that's real funny.
See, this is, thank God, Phil, you sit where you sit, because if there wasn't anything buffering me, I'd be all over him like stink on you-know-what.
Yeah, because of the sexual attraction.
You do.
Hey, watch it!
Like I said, so one of these days he won't be here to stop me.
I wish, Phil, and I swear to you, I wish that one of these days, as Margaret just said, you just let her go. In other words, you don't stop her. You let her go, and she takes care of something that has been needing taking care of for a long time, and I'm talking about
Bud Dickman.
Yeah, you're a criminal and a weirdo.
I may be a criminal and I may be a weirdo, but you need taking care of.
All right, enough of the threats, and we'll move on now with the topic here. Here's my opinion. Let me give you my opinion. I think were we to live in a fairer society, that is a society that is not so partisan, then we would be more forgiving of these chief executives, no matter who they are, whether they are presidents.
What about Richard Nixon?
Very good point. Richard Nixon was found to have directed, at least on one of those tapes, the payment of hush money. Richard Nixon was found to have himself obstructed justice. So that's very serious. I don't see anything going on here yet with Governor Christie. All I see is an aide, whether you want to call him overzealous, whether you want to say the guy overstepped his bounds. I don't know what, but what I see here is an aide that made some bad decisions, not at the behest or direction of Governor Christie. So that's my feeling. But because we live in a partisan society...
Phil, what you're trying to do is apply logic and common sense to the problem, and that cannot be done. As I listen to you, I find myself agreeing with you, and I find myself admiring your point of view. And now I ask myself, why am I even here? Because I was going to come on your program and mock and make fun of what I know Margaret would say, because I know that what she says is laughable.
But is that right? How do you know what it was I was going to say?
I already heard what you were going to say. Oh, baby, get her. You were already talking about Chris Christie being the greatest thing since extra thin tampons, or should I say extra large.
All right, so I can't...
God, you hung up on Herb Sewell. He's the smartest guy you can get on here.
I'm telling you now, if you ever have that man back on this program, I'm leaving the room.
Do whatever you want. You know...
Yeah, what did he say?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Talk about...
Shut up.
I will leave the room if that animal is ever, ever back on the air, and I can assure you of that.
Margaret, I will not have him back on the air. I promise you.
One other thing, too.
What are you doing? Why is he back on the air?
He just called in.
I have to tell...
I will have him back on the air, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, you do that. Send me a telegram.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I apologize. So I think the only opinion that was offered this hour on this topic of Governor Christie is mine, and that makes sense. I think politics is pretty easy to comment on these days. It's not difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. The whole problem with politics today has to do with factionalism, what our founding fathers called factionalism. The founding fathers said, what is it with you?
Pretend like we're sleeping?
Yeah, we're falling asleep over here.
Never mind, okay?
Phil, I'd like to hear about it off the air, but for you to do this on the air, oh, baby, it's death. It's death on a stick.
Yeah, all right, we're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of the hard, heavy-ass news of today. Stick around. We're on TuneIn, TuneIn.com. By the way, tomorrow we'll be shooting an episode of Marin with Mark Maron. We'll be blogging from the set of the show, so follow us there at PhilHenryShow.com. Follow our blog and our photographs as we take you behind the scenes in Hollywood.
What a weirdo.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. Welcome, everybody, tuning in on TuneIn. Welcome, everybody, tuning in on our great, great network of affiliate stations. Welcome, everybody, tuning in on the backstage pass end of things tonight. If you have a BSP, if you have a subscription to PhilHenryShow.com, you get a little something extra. You got a very, very high-quality audio and video feed. We have a video cast of the show. The value of looking at my ugly mug every night, well, you know.
Well, there's a little bit of value and a little bit of a drop. It's valuable, I think, watching you work. The drawback is, and I say this with great respect, Phil, but the drawback is the trauma, you know?
Yeah, the trauma of the people are going to look at it.
The trauma of the people that are going to look. Now, this is good.
Well, Phil, now, come on, don't take it personal.
Yes, I'm only saying people think you look a certain way because of your gorgeous voice. Your voice is so lovely.
Thank you.
But then when the face... You know.
Oh, come on, Phil. Were you going to cry and everything?
No, but I'm not. Do I look like I'm crying? You're the one that cries. You know, you and everybody else here.
I don't believe I've ever cried. But what happens to me is, well, see.
Yeah, got to get some more water.
Yeah, that voice-cracking thing with you, Governor, with you, what are you, anyway?
I'm a general. If I'm ever a governor, please allow me to go into the woods alone with a nickel-plated revolver in my dress greens and do the proper and right thing. Excuse me.
General Shaw. All right. I have had an interest in something for quite some time, and I want to do it now, and that is the DNA.
Oh, you're still on about that.
Yeah, the mitochondrial DNA. I want to find out where I'm from. Now, here's the thing. We live in a world more and more with Ancestry.com and these sites. More and more people are very fascinated with where they're from. Who was the family? What is my lineage? You know, where is this and where is that? And I think that for those of us who have adopted grandparents, for instance, my father and mother were both adopted. Now, there's only one set of grandparents that I know about for sure, and that's my mother's father and mother. My mother's father and mother, we have actual photographs of, and we know their name, which was Gordon. But my mother's father and mother, my grandparents on my mother's side, my grandmother died when my mother was only 9 years old, and my grandfather was run off by the stepdad that took over in the family.
What do you mean, run off?
Apparently, my grandfather on my mother's side was a good-time guy. My grandmother played the piano. Now, she didn't go down to bar rooms to drink. She went down there because they had a piano, and she loved to go down and play the piano. My grandmother apparently had this memory for melodies, and she could play any melody that anyone shouted out in the barroom. So she'd be there, and we're talking about, folks, a woman that was in her 20s at the turn of the century. So she was born sometime in the late 19th century, but you could well imagine what it was like in the saloons of the day, and there she was.
What are you saying? So you're like a saloon lady and everything?
No, I'm not at all. What I'm saying is my grandmother liked to go into these places that had pianos, generally the corner saloon, because she loved to play the piano, and she had this remarkable ability to play any song that a person would shout out. She was that familiar with it, and if she didn't know the song, people would hum a few bars, you know, as the saying goes, and she'd pick it up. That was my grandmother.
On your mother's side, what about your father's side?
My grandmother on my father's side I met one time when I was 5 years old. She came to visit when we were in California. My father had moved the family from Canada, and I had been born, I was only about 4 years old, and had been born here in the United States. So she'd never seen two of her grandkids, which was my sister and myself. That grandmother had given my father up for adoption. So my dad was raised by two people that I never met. They both died before I was born. The lady that I met was my father's real mother, but she had given him up for adoption in a hospital, and apparently she had now was trying to make things good, or at least she was trying to hook back up with him. My dad, who was at times an extremely bitter and angry man, told me that she came here looking for money, and I can well imagine that's something that my father sort of concocted to make himself feel better for kicking this woman basically out of his life.
Well, that's very... How do you know he did that?
I'm thinking that's my dad. You know, that's the way my father was. He could be a very vindictive guy. So that lady I met one time. I actually have a photograph of her, and I have nothing but great memories of her. But that's the only time I met her. My grandmother, my mom's side, is playing piano in a saloon, and she meets... Well, who are you going to meet in a saloon? Guys that hang out in saloons. And apparently the two of them made a fantastic, fun-loving, partying couple. And there's one picture that I got of them as they sit on the edge of Lake Ontario in Toronto sometime in the 20s, maybe even earlier, with big smiles on their faces. And they look like a couple of people that just got a kick out of life. But apparently he was a ne'er-do-well because she eventually threw him out. He wanted to visit his daughters, my mother and my aunt, or as we say here on the West Coast, aunt, you know.
Yeah, you're talking about that thing in the New York Times?
I was just about to say, the New York Times article.
Yeah, the New York Times had a fantastic article on where are you from? What region of the country are you from? And they asked me, they asked the question, how do you say the word aunt? I say aunt.
Yes, and people from the South and other parts say aunt.
What do you say?
I say aunt, because I'm from Pennsylvania.
Bud, what do you say?
Aunt.
Robert?
Aunt.
Aren't you from California?
Yeah, but my mother's from South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Okay, and what about you, General?
I say aunt, I think. What are we talking about, the animal or the woman?
We're talking about the woman.
I would say aunt, yes.
What about the animal?
Well, the insect is aunt.
No, it's not.
You, wait a minute. Don't ever say no to General Galen Shaw unless you want me to take particular interest in you.
Well, that could be.
No, no, it's not sexual. Come here.
Ow! You hit me!
That's right, I'll do it again, too. I take particular interest in you, not sexually, but because I want to plant my fist so far.
Yeah? Where?
Does anyone have a ball gag?
Hold on for a minute.
Ball gag.
Hold on. We have to take a break. We'll be back with this fascinating conversation. That, well, at least it was fascinating until we got the general and his discussion of ball gags involved.
Now, wait just a second. I didn't... This animal started it.
Well, how do you say the insect aunt? Aunt. How do you say the lady? Aunt. Never mind. World famous Phil Hendry Show on philhendryshow.com. I got to find this article. It was in the New York Times. But I want to continue with this DNA thing.
Oh, who cares?
I care.
Whatever.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Yeah. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Another hour of mirth and merriment and fun, and truth is our bitch. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. Join us on TuneIn real soon, because it's now, you can get us anywhere, man. That's
well, that's the beauty of the TuneIn app. Isn't that what it's called?
Now, what is the app again?
I don't want to get into an explanation of it, all right?
Phil, you know something? There are some of us that need a little bit of a education.
Yeah, we'll explain it later on. Dad, talk about it now. Everybody know what an app is.
A lot of people don't know, I guess. An app, you get in the app store, and you app it onto your app, man.
Oh, will you quit screwing around, for God's sake? What is an app?
It's an application. It's something that you can put a button on your smartphone, you hit it, and you can find our radio show. It's as simple as that.
Well, what, I don't understand. I've got a radio. Why don't I listen on the radio?
Because we may not be on the radio in certain markets. There are some cities where we air and some cities where we don't.
So this, in other words, is a way of listening to the show no matter where you are.
No matter where you are. You can be on Mars. You can be with Sandra Bullock there in the Explorer as it's drifting out of control or whatever the hell.
What about that? That movie looks bitchin'.
All right, well, we're going to have Doug Danger with us in the next quarter hour. He is at the People's Choice Awards, and he has some reporting to do on that. I don't want to say, but Sandra Bullock and Justin Timberlake are kicking ass. Apparently they are.
Well, they are the people's favorite. I mean, Sandra Bullock is absolutely just breathtakingly. You know she's lovely. You know that. That much you know going in, that she's lovely. Going in, you know that. And then after you right off the bat, you know she's beautiful.
Yes, I got that already.
Will you get to the point, for God's sake?
I am doing some editorial. You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to do it now.
Oh, you get...
Margaret, that's childish.
No, I'm not going to... No, it isn't childish. I'm not going to do it now.
Oh, all right. So, well, then Doug can do it.
No, I'll do it.
No, Doug's going to do it.
No, I'll do the part that I want to do.
No, Phil said.
Are you Phil?
What?
Are you Phil Hendry?
No.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
What about you?
No.
What about, well, yes, you are.
Yeah, I am. And I'm saying we'll have Doug Danger do it, not you.
What an ass.
Phil, are you going to take that, or are you...
Yes, I'm going to take it. What am I going to do, you know?
You got that right.
Hey, Margaret, don't push your luck, okay? All I'm trying to say is that we have a report. You were going to give an opinion, and you didn't want to give it.
No, I was going to give the opinion, and then you guys chimed in like a bunch of a-holes.
All right, we were giving you a hard time.
I was saying, Sandra Bullock is absolutely beautiful. She is breathtakingly lovely. I don't think in my life, as a critic, as a journalist, I've seen a young woman come on the scene with the combination of talent and looks that Sandra Bullock has. The beauty. It's breathtaking.
God, it's going to start coming off lesbian. I'm sorry.
Hey, bud, what's that?
Why, that's...
What did I tell you about protecting your gut?
Hey, that's just not cool.
Well, you know something, Phil? The kid asks for it. Not only does he ask for it, but he puts in a pre-order for it. It's almost as if he's ordering an airline ticket, and they say, would you like to get kicked in the you-know-what? I'll say it. Would you like to get kicked in the...
balls?
Yes, I would. All right, great. Check that off.
I didn't say that.
Well, I don't even know what the general just said.
No, whatever he said, I agree with.
Yeah, thank you very much. I do, too.
So you keep asking for it, dickhead. I mean, Dickman.
All right. So we have that, and we're going to be checking in with Doug Danger.
So in other words, I don't get to say...
Go ahead, Margaret. Just...
I was going to say that Sandra Bullock, and if he makes a lesbian comment...
I can't see anything now.
Sandra Bullock, I think, this is just a preliminary. She's so breathtakingly beautiful. Never mind.
Yeah, this is what you've been doing. She's so breathtakingly beautiful. She's so lovely. You're not getting into what it is you want to say.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. She forgot because she was doing the buildup.
Yeah, we understand, General. Thank you. How is your, what is he drinking now?
What is that, General?
What do you mean? It's V8 juice.
Nilla wafers, V8 juice, and cottage cheese with pineapple.
Yeah, you want to make something out of it?
No, I don't. God.
Hey, General.
You want some, too?
No.
All right, so that is in the offing. Now then, the other thing I wanted to discuss with you was the DNA project that we were talking about, and that is, as I said, I was talking about my grandfather and my grandmother and all this stuff. So... having said all that, all these guys were, my parents were adopted, so I don't know where I'm from. You know, I don't know really where. A lot of people, I went into a friend's house one day, and he had a picture of a group of Civil War troopers. They were soldiers, Union soldiers. And I said, what is that? He said, that is my great-great-great-something grandfather right there. I said, man, that's fantastic. You know, he says, yeah, my family goes back to this and that, and they... I said, to know that you, to actually have a picture of one of your ancestors going back to that time, you know, and I don't have that. So I thought about this whole DNA thing and the ability to track one's DNA. You don't have names necessarily, but you do actually see your own particular DNA line, whatever they call the strain or the strand of DNA that you have, and how it got to where it is today. So in other words, I would be able to see the DNA of my family in America and trace it back to Europe.
Hey, you know, it's Europe.
Well, come on, man. Give me a break. I mean, take a look at the guy.
Well, I know. I'm not saying, but how do you know? How do you know? I'm not saying, okay? I'm just trying to say, how do you know Europe?
I'm guessing it's Europe. I mean, my mother's people are Irish.
Yeah, what about your dad?
Well, you're right. I mean, I met my grandmother, I told you.
Did she look like she's a white woman?
Yes, she looked like a white woman.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? Doesn't Mr. Henry look white to you?
Yes, he does, but if you're talking about the ancestry of it all, and you don't even know.
Well, but what are you saying, man? Like Africa or something?
Everybody knows everybody come from Africa. That much is a given. I'm talking about, was there a stop off in Africa before or after the Africa?
What?
I think I know what Bud's saying. You know what? It'll be interesting, Bud. We may look at my DNA, and it may, like, take a big turn through China, or so, for all I know. Because what we do know is that it comes out of Africa, and it goes up into the subcontinent of Asia, and it either heads to Europe, which I don't know how much of it actually immediately makes the left turn into Europe, because Europe wasn't settled until about 500,000 years ago. Or it goes right, and generally the first trip that the human family made was along the southern portion of the continent of Europe all the way through to Australia when there was a land bridge there. I mean, that was 7 million years ago.
7 million years ago? I thought we were only rodents.
Yeah, well, the rodent come out of Africa and go down there.
No, we weren't rodents. We were a hominid, but we were not yet humans. Humans are 200,000 to 500,000 years old. And I think the first human migration to Europe is around that time. But also there's human migration all over the place. So anyway, we're going to find that out. We have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line, who's going to give us a little bit of a breakdown on that as well when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. Make sure that you get a backstage pass so you can join the marvelousness of the experience of the Phil Henry Show. With us online at TuneIn. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com, where a backstage pass affords you an opportunity to look into the world of Phil Henry and get the 5,000-plus hours of audio, full shows, going back many, many years of the Phil Henry Show. And we keep full shows on our website because we're very proud of the work that we've done. They're not just clips. It's not three-minute clips. We've got full radio shows for you to listen to at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. We have Dr. Jim Sadler joining us now from the Little Shrimp in Laguna Beach, where he's having dinner. But we wanted to talk, Dr. Sadler, about the DNA, this sort of DNA project that is conducted by a variety of different companies, where people can submit their DNA and find out about their ancestral passage, if you will. And I understand it can go back hundreds of years, correct?
Right. Well, there are organizations that will do, there are companies that will do it, that will take it back hundreds of years. There are some companies that will look into it for several generations. I don't really know why. If I had the opportunity to find out, and I have had that opportunity, and we are going to take that opportunity, but I'm saying if I opted instead just to look at a very short segment of my ancestry, going back, say, only 100 years, shall we say, or a couple of hundred years, I wonder why that is, you know? I wonder why that is. Why wouldn't you want to look at the full history?
How far back can they take a look at this?
Well, you can go back several hundred years, literally. You can go back several hundred to 1,000 years, and there may be... And what you do when you look at the mitochondrial DNA, you can see which hopalong. It's a funny name, but it's called a hopalong group. You know, Mr. Henry?
A hopalong group.
Well, no, it's a funny name. It's spelled H-A...
Oh, Dr. Sadler, this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
I've seen it. It's called the Happelgab or something like that.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to find the actual word. You don't know what it is.
Yes, I know what it is. I'm a doctor, but I don't have it right. It's not wrote it. You know, I don't have it written down. In my memory, it's like Hopalong Group or something.
Well, can we look this up, somebody?
Yeah, I'll look it up right now. How do you spell it?
Hopalong is H-O-P-P.
Well, it ain't Hopalong, is it?
I don't know.
I think it's H-A, bud. Start there.
All right.
All right, so what does that tell us?
Well, what that does is once we find out which one of those, if you will, DNA highways your DNA belongs to, then we already know a passage, if you will, as you call it, Phil. It's very good. A way of putting it, the ancestral passage. We know where your family or your DNA line went. All the DNA lines, as you know, originate in Eastern Africa, but some, as you mentioned, Phil, go along the Southern Asia route, some through Central Asia, some stay in the Middle East for a period of time and then begin to traverse other areas of Europe. Most notably, the mummified remains of the Ice Age man that was found in the Himalayas, but in the Swiss Alps some 20 years ago, which carbon tested to approximately 3000 BC. We know that this man, by virtue of the DNA, as well as the food that was found in his stomach and so forth. We know that this man originated in the Mediterranean. In fact, on an island in the Mediterranean, Sardinia. And from Sardinia, then he went over to, he came from the Middle East.
That when he get the name, Dr. Sadler?
Yes.
This is Bud Dickman, sir?
Yes, Bud.
Is that where he get a name, the Sardine? Do they get a Sardine name from that?
The island Sardinia?
Do they get the what? Do they get the name?
Do they get the name Sardine from, are sardines named after the island?
Sardines, you mean the fish?
Yeah, I had just recently I had a can of sardines.
Well, I don't know. I would think that the sardine was named, that the island would be named after the sardine if they worshipped the sardine. It's possible they worshipped it.
Why would you say that?
Well, why would you name an album, why would you name an island after a sardine unless your culture worships sardines? I don't know.
Worship sardines?
Well, Phil, look, it's not my culture. I wouldn't, I can certainly tell you, and I say this, I don't think, without any fear of criticism, that were it my choice, I certainly wouldn't belong to any society that got on its knees to a sardine. You got to have a problem there. And maybe that's why Sardinia has never really developed to any great degree historically, like Sicily, like the boot of Italy, and so forth. It was sort of a nothing place because culturally they were backward and they were, licking a sardine. Excuse me for putting it this way, but they're licking a sardine's ass.
Dr. Sadler, you don't speak much like a doctor. I don't appreciate the language, although I understand that you are attempting to communicate to Phil's audience. I have a question.
I'm very, very sorry. I didn't mean to. Margaret, I apologize.
All right, I agree with Margaret, but I also recognize that the question by Bud, it's not a question we can answer, Bud.
Well, I mean, it stands to reason that if you like sardines...
Well, you may like sardines. What's that got to do with it?
Let's just can this conversation, if you don't mind.
Hey, Phil just said a funny. Let's can it. Get it? Can sardines?
Oh, that's very good, Mr. Henry. That's very good.
Yeah, see?
I don't think Phil intended that to be funny.
No, I did not intend it to be funny.
Well, it was still very, hey, you guys, let's not talk about, let's can the conversation about a sardine.
Yeah, you can make it say, can the conversation about a tomato.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's so funny.
What happened there?
What?
I just heard something and went, it sounded horrible.
That was me laughing.
Forgive me, Phil, I didn't...
All right, let's move on now to the point of DNA. We're talking about DNA. You were talking about the remains of the Ice Age man that were found. I remember that story. I was... just starting my talk radio career when that story broke, and it was it just never stops giving. It's such an interesting story. This poor man who we now know, looking at his remains, was somehow ambushed. Isn't that correct?
We believe that he might have been either hunting himself or what some scientists believe, and I agree with this opinion, Phil, is that he was traveling between... traveling between population centers. He had done some trading on one side of the Himalayas and was on his way home when he was ambushed by, who knows, a rival tribe. It could have been just people out to rob him. He did suffer an arrow wound. They find wounds on the body, and eventually they feel that he died from exposure. Just so much of cold weather you can take, the man collapsed, and if you look at the picture of the remains, he collapsed on his right arm. The right arm is stretched across the body underneath him, laying on his face. Quite a dramatic story when you look at the remains of the Ice Age man. His DNA tells us that he came from Sardinia. I don't know, Bud.
Did they have any sardines on him?
I don't know, for God.
Will you knock it off with the sardines?
No, they did not find any sardine. Are you saying in insides?
Yeah, because they did look at the contents of the stomach.
What was in his stomach?
What was in his stomach was some kind of a porridge, a gruel, nuts, berries, the different things that he would have collected along the way to keep himself alive. No, they didn't find sardines. In the middle of the Himalayas, or excuse me, in the
You said Himalayas.
I know. I didn't mean to say Himalayas. In the nipple.
What do you mean nipple?
I didn't say nipple either.
Will you let the doctor finish?
In the middle of the Alps, is he going to find a sardine? I don't think so, is all I'm trying to say.
All right, I want to get a phone call here. I got Austin in Lancaster. Austin, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dr. Jim Sadler. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, the question I've got for you is that mankind comes from Africa. Is that what you have found?
Mankind originated, the human DNA that we track all has an origination point in Eastern Africa. Yes, sir.
In Eastern Africa. Okay, and that's for sure.
Well, yes, sir. I mean, that is the result of the collection of this data for quite some time, especially since the discovery of the DNA helix. We have found that human DNA origination point is the eastern portion of Africa.
All right. That's okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. 855-500-7445. What, bud?
That man wanted to know, and he was betting somebody.
He was betting someone what?
They.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it later, okay? He was betting someone. Why? Why was he betting?
Because he... He sounds like he lost the bet.
He lost the bet. Well, look, if you got a problem with mankind originating in Africa, that's, you know, you're going to have to... Science is science. And this is the thing about science. And this is the beautiful thing about science. It is, in point of fact, the truth. It is what it is. And you can't, you know, you can pretend like it doesn't exist. You can make up all kinds of bullcrap excuses, but it is what it is. Science is science. And, and as the facts change, as our understanding of things change, you know.
Yeah, but the facts are never going to change, Phil, so give up your hopes on that.
Well, I don't hope anything.
Are you saying you don't want to be from Africa?
No, I didn't say anything of this sort. We're going to be right back. Anyway, we're going to be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I don't hope anything of this sort. Talking to Dr. Jim Sadler about DNA.
Hike!
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Now, at some point here this evening, I want to give this test to Nikki, our close personal friend there at our remote studio in D.C., and it is the test that I was mentioning. It's how y'all use you guys talk. It's from the New York Times, and I first discovered this by way of a friend of mine, Liz Wild over on Facebook, who had linked it and said you gotta check this out. It's a great test, and it nailed me. In other words, it figured out exactly where I'm from. Not exactly where I'm from, but it had the region that I'm from down pat. And it's a pretty easy test to take. So we'll find out if it is accurate in the case of our friend Nikki, who is from the state of New York. She's not from the city. She's from Is it upstate, Nikki? Binghamton? Yeah, it's upstate New York. So we'll give her the test here. Right now we have Dr. Jim Sadler on the phone. We're taking phone calls here on DNA and what the DNA story of your life is and whither goest thou, man? You know, where are we all from? And Dr. Sadler is talking about the human family and the DNA record showing that we are very much travelers of this globe originating in East Africa. Bob Green is with us from the Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Bob, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, Phil, and a very pleasant good evening to you, Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, I heard you mention to Phil that the human family, as you say, is from East Africa. I will not question the science. I did hear the gentleman that called in earlier, he sounded confused, as I would be. We have traditionally felt, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, that white people a lot of people have traditionally felt that white people might be more intelligent than black people. Have you heard that?
Well, yes, I've heard that from ignorant people.
From ignorant people?
Absolutely, from very ignorant people. Only an ignoramus has any stock in racial theories. Those, in terms of racial eugenics, in terms of the racial difference racially, makes for higher or lower intellect. This has all been debunked for many decades.
I understand, but if you were the member of an Aryan group, say the Ku Klux Klan or the or Aryan nations, and you found out that humans came from Africa, I guess that would pretty much render moot the reason for the existence of your organization?
Well, sir, I don't want to comment on anything like that.
What, yeah, Bob, if you don't mind, what...
Well, I'm wondering... I am not a racist. I am not a racist, but I did join an organization that probably could be perceived as one. It is an Aryan businessman's organization.
I want to ask you a question, sir, if I might at this point. Did you come on Phil Hendry's program to advertise that as if that's something good for your business?
I don't think it's good for my business at all. Not since the information I just got from you.
You think that you joined an Aryan businessman's organization and saying that on my show was okay?
Well, I don't think that it's okay to...
Did you join that organization to discourage minorities from shopping in your store?
I joined the organization because I thought it was conducive to business for other whites, but I'm not a racist. And I know that it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Mr. Henry, I'll give you that. But I joined the organization, and the reason why I'm calling is...
You're calling up to find out... If you're calling up to find out if Aryans are superior to black people, no, they are not. The record is very clear. The history of that so-called quack science has been read and has been... History has delivered its verdict on that kind of thinking.
What I am saying is, if I presented the evidence that man comes from East Africa, I had joined this organization for a fairly significant membership fee of $500.
Are you asking, could you get your money back? I would say yes.
That is what I'm asking, sir.
I mean, yes, I would say you should. I don't know if your organization...
I mean, if this is an absolute fact that I can find in a book... I didn't find this information in any book on the migratory pattern of the human family, the human species, going back to the birth of the human being, and certainly the birth of the hominid, which predates the human being. You can find this very, very clearly recorded there. And genome projects, which are taking place around the world, are verifying this every day. All right, so I could get them all right.
Yeah, you can get your money back, Bob. What a stupid thing to, what a stupid organization to belong to.
Phil, I appreciate it very much, Phil.
I mean, what a stupid organization to belong to. Did he hang up?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you get your money back? Hi, I just found out that we are actually from East Africa, so whites, can I get my money back here in this?
Well, I don't think it's that funny, Phil. I think a man will join an organization as a fraternal... Fraternal. You know what that word means, right?
I certainly do know what it means.
Oh, listen how fancy you are. I certainly do know it. Look, Phil...
What is your point before I, you know, start to lose my temper here? Because I don't understand why you would make fun of me for... I certainly do know what that means.
All right. If you know what fraternal means, okay, then you know that Bob joined that organization as a way of promoting his business.
And my question to him was, how do you promote your business among the general public when you let it be known that you are a member of an Aryan businessman's organization?
Well, he said, because he only wants to have white people shopping there.
Yes, that was the point. He wanted to... You made the point. Is this to discourage minorities?
What? Why would you want to do that? Why are you wanting to cut off that significant a flow of your business?
I don't know, but you heard that he is willing now to leave that group if he can get his money back.
If he gets his membership fee. You people don't hear how Funny this is, huh?
Well, I don't like the you people. I never have, and I never will.
Forget about whether your feelings are hurt by you people, okay? I'm asking you, do you realize how funny this is?
What is?
The guy just called up. He said, Dr. Sadler, let's get Dr. Where are you? Dr. Sadler, sir.
Yes, sir.
Do you recognize the humor in this?
In the humor in what, sir?
When the guy called up Mr. Green and he said, is this something, the fact that man originates in East Africa, is this something that can be verified? And you said yes. And then he said, great, because I joined an Aryan businessman's...
what is the...
Phil tends to laugh at a lot of things other people don't... Nobody's laughing at.
Oh, I see.
No, wait, hold on. And he said, I joined an Aryan businessman's group. Can I get my money back?
Right, and I said to him, I most certainly... I think they should. I don't know if they will.
And you didn't think that was funny?
What was funny? That he paid the money?
All right, never mind.
Well, Phil, let us in on the joke.
Yeah, if we want to laugh at it.
To me, it's funny. I mean, it's hysterically funny. I just joined the Aryan businessman's organization. What's that? You mean people come from East Africa? I'd like to have my money back? You don't think that's funny? All right. Dr. Sadler, I thank you very much for being with us, and we're going to continue to look into this, and I myself will involve, I think I'm going to go ahead and have that looked at, because as I mentioned to the audience...
I'm kind of under the gun, Phil. Can I go now? Oh, you were talking to me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler.
Well, yeah.
What's wrong?
I was going to talk to the guy, and all of a sudden he's...
Phil, people are going to be in a hurry and everything.
Yeah, I get it. All right, Nikki, are you there? Here we go. Now, we can't hear Nikki because she's just, her mic just does not, we can't hear. But I want you to give me the answer to this question. And you guys at home can answer these questions. Although, I guess you won't really be able to get the results of it unless you have the test in front of you. But this is a series of 25 questions, the results of which I will then process through the little thing they have here on the New York Times, and we'll find out, Nikki, where you originate or where your accent or your dialect originates. Now, the answer to this question, how would you address a group of two or more people, you all, yous, you lot, you guys, youans, yins, you, other, or y'all?
You guys.
You guys. I answered that the same way, too. Here's the next question. What do you call the area of grass between the sidewalk and the road? A berm, parking, tree lawn, terrace, curb, strip, a curb strip, beltway, verge, I have no word for this, or other?
Curb.
The area of grass between the sidewalk and the road you call the curb. I think we have curb strip, so we'll put down other. How about that? I don't have a word for that. I put down no word for that. What do you call the small gray bug that curls up into a ball when it's touched? A pill bug, a doodle bug, a potato bug, roly-poly, sow bug, basketball bug, twiddle bug, roll-up bug, woodlouse, millipede, centipede. I know what this creature is, but have no word for it. I know what this creature is, but I have no word for it. Now, we called it a pill bug. What do you call a traffic jam caused by drivers slowing down to look at an accident or other diversion on the side of the road? Rubberneck?
Rubberneck.
Okay, you don't want to hear the rest of them? Rubberneck. Rubberneck is it. Okay. So far, least similar? You are the least similar to the whole country. However, I will tell you this. It's starting to lighten up. The color is starting to lighten up in New England and New York and also Minnesota and North Dakota. So it's starting to find you a little bit. Here's the next question. What do you call something that is across both streets from you at an intersection or diagonally across from you in general? Is it kitty corner, kitta corner, catter corner, catty corner, crisscross, kitty wampus? I would use only diagonal for this. I have no term for this or other.
Kitty corner.
Kitty corner. Yoo-hoo. All right. How do you pronounce caramel? C-A-R-A-M-E-L. With two syllables, as in caramel. With three syllables, as in caramel. I use both pronunciations interchangeably. I use both pronunciations, but the two have different meanings.
The last one.
Well, the last one would be other. Okay. Not other. The last one, I use both pronunciations, but have two different meanings. Got it. All right. Do you pronounce caught, C-O-T, and caught, C-A-U-G-H-T, the same, different, or the same?
Different.
Different. You do. C-O-T and C-A-U-G-H-T are differently pronounced.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Let's see what time we have. We should take a break and pick this up on the other side. What do you think? So we're giving Nikki this this dialect test that was in the New York Times to find out if it can place her origination. It did mine. It nailed me in the far west. So let's see. We'll come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Again, we want to tell you that we're very, very happy to be on TuneIn. That's right. Won't be here tomorrow or Friday night as we shoot an episode of Marin with Mark Maron, but we'll see you guys on the website, blogging and posting pictures as well. So all right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here and online at philhendryshow.com. And on the 26th of this month, January, we will be at the Sketchfest in San Francisco. And we'll give you more details as we get closer to that tomorrow and Friday and Monday, shooting an episode of Marin. And as soon as we tell you, as soon as we find out when we're on Drunk History, you can't miss that. I don't think anybody's going to want to miss that, you know.
Well, Phil, come on. I'm to look at you slamming back the tequila and then just slurring your words about Daniel Inouye, which I was the one who told you how to pronounce that.
No, you were not.
Yes, I was.
No, you were not, because somebody mentioned it to me in a message on Facebook.
Oh, well, God almighty. Okay, Phil, I'm sure you get all kinds of messages on Facebook, 90% of which could not be shared with any decent...
The morality of them, you know.
Oh, is that right? And how do you know that?
Please don't raise your voice to me. I would not want to read the messages you get on Facebook from some of these...
Boy, you are something else.
Well, Phil...
You're as bad as Phil found out about, you know, whatever you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I don't even know what we're talking about now. Phil, no, I let's get back to Nikki, because she's taking this test. This is the test in the New York Times that will tell you what part of the country you most are identified with. You know where you're from, but the way you talk, is it indicative of how the rest of us would, or at least how this particular group of dialect surveyors, and this is from Harvard University, where they would place you. And I will tell you that in Nikki's last answer, when she said she pronounces the word C-O-T, caught, and the word C-A-U-G-H-T, caught, the same or different, she said different. This chart has got her nailed to New York State. There's also Wisconsin. There's parts of Minnesota. But Nikki's from New York State. So that's here's the next question, Nikki. Let's find out where this places you ultimately. What do you call the thing from which you might drink water in a school? A bubbler, a water bubbler, a drinking fountain, water fountain, or other?
Water fountain.
A water fountain, okay. And that question places you, now it's got you further away from New York. Now it's got you in the South, Pennsylvania, places like that. What do you call a traffic situation in which several roads meet in a circle? Rotary, roundabout, circle, traffic circus, I have no word for this, or other?
Traffic circle.
Boom.
Now that I'm in
Maryland. Yep. How do you pronounce the first syllable of lawyer? Does it rhyme with boy? Does it rhyme with flaw, as in liar? I use both pronunciations interchangeably, or other.
Boy.
Okay. I won't keep telling you where it puts you, because that answer there, you're like 90% of the country. There's the only part of the country that doesn't talk that way, you got it, Oklahoma. All right, I'm kidding. No, it is pretty much Southeast. What do you call the rubber-soled shoes worn in gym class or for athletic activities? This is an interesting question, because everybody's got a different answer. Sneakers? Shoes, gym shoes, sand shoes, jumpers, tennis shoes, running shoes, runners, trainers. I have no general word for this, or other.
Shoes.
Snakers. Next question. This is 12 of 25. I hope we get this in. What do you call the insect that flies around in the summer and glows in the dark? Lightning bug?
Lightning bug.
Okay. You didn't want to hear the rest of them? Okay. What is the distinction between dinner and supper? Supper is an evening meal. Dinner is eaten earlier. Supper is an evening meal. Dinner is the main meal. Dinner takes place in a more formal setting than supper. There is no distinction. They both have the same meaning. I don't use the word supper. I don't use the word dinner or other.
Supper is later, dinner is earlier.
Supper is later, and dinner is... So supper is an evening meal, dinner is eaten earlier?
Yes. No, but dinner is eaten earlier.
Yeah, supper is an evening meal, dinner is eaten earlier was that option. Okay. And let's move on to the next one here. How do you pronounce the words Mary, M-A-R-Y, Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, and Mary, as in marrying someone? All three are pronounced the same. All three are pronounced differently. Mary, as in the woman, and Mary, as in Christmas, are pronounced the same. But Mary, as in marrying, is different. Mary, they're all the same? Okay, we can skip all those options there. We'll move along here. Do you call the sweet spread that is put on a cake frosting or icing? Now, there's another option here. Frosting and icing refer to different things. Both, neither, other. You say frosting.
Yeah.
Frosting and icing are different things. I didn't think that. What do you call an easy high school or college class? Gut, crypt course, crip course, C-R-I-P, bird, a blow-off, meat, or other?
Other.
Yeah, me too. I've never heard of it referred to as anything. What do you call the small road parallel to the highway? Is it a frontage road, a service road, an access road, a feeder road, a gateway? We have them, but I have no word for them. I've never heard of this concept, other.
We have them, but I don't have a term.
We have them, but I have no word for them. We call them frontage roads, but I don't know.
Local
lanes. Yeah. Are you paying attention to the time? Because I'm like, totally. Okay. How do you pronounce been, as B-E-E-N, as if I've been there, with the vowel in sit, as obviously Phil does, that would be been, with the vowel in see, been, with the vowel in set, been, or other, set, okay. What do you call a drive-through liquor store? A brew-through, a party barn, a bootlegger, a beer barn, a beverage barn? We have these in my area, but we have no special term for them. I have never heard of such a thing or other. You've never heard of a drive-through liquor store? Oh, wow, we got them. All right, we're going to have to take a break. We're going to be back when we're going to finish this on the other side of the news with Nikki, who you can't hear, but you can feel her. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah, I feel her.
Great. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We got a minute to go here before the end of the hour. Listen, hit us up at our online store, you guys. Online, you can get the Teds of Beverly Hills sweatshirt, the Teds of Beverly Hills t-shirt. We have the Phil Henry Show ball caps, the Phil Henry Show t-shirts. We have the Bobby Dooley keychains. And we also have a huge selection of our legacy CDs. The legacy Phil Henry Show CDs, the best of CDs from 1997 all the way through 2005 are available. Hard copies, but they're going fast.
All the same to you.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and I got Nikki on the other end of this here telecommunications thing back to D.C. where our remote control room is, and we're taking this test here, or giving her the test in this regional thing.
Yeah, and I would like to...
Don't have any time for it.
I'm not talking to you. Do I have time to take it?
Not on the air, no.
Oh, well, great. So you're giving it to Nikki.
Yes. You know, I mean, next test we'll give to you. All right, Nikki. So this is, folks, so you know, it is a test, questions, based on a Harvard dialect survey, a linguistics project that was begun in 2002. The original questions and results for that survey can actually be found on Dr. Vaux's current website. His name is Bert Vaux, F-A-U-X. The data for the quiz and maps shown as you take this test, as it identifies the region of the country that you're from. It's not that you're taking the test so you can find out where you're from. You know where you're from. but it is to see how much in common with others you have in the way that you speak and how that so readily identifies you to a region. I mean, some of us don't think we have accents, and some of us don't think we really speak in any odd dialect, but we do. We just pronounce words differently from others, and that does identify where we're from, believe it or not. The data for the quiz and maps come from over 350,000 survey responses collected from August to October of 2013 by Josh Katz, who is a graphics editor for the New York Times, who developed this quiz. The colors on the large heat map correspond to the probability that a randomly selected person in that location would respond to a randomly selected survey question the same way that you did. So the three smaller maps show which answer most contributed to those cities. All right. So, Nikki, here we go. What do you call the large wildcat native to the Americas? Is it a mountain lion, a cougar, a puma, a mountain cat, a panther, a catamount, a mountain screamer, a painter, or others? A mountain lion. All right. God, I'd love to meet the guy that answers mountain screamer.
Yes, I wonder if that has anything to do with the animal.
That isn't funny.
You know what?
Never mind, okay? What do you call the area of grass in the middle of some streets? Is it a boulevard, a midway, a traffic island, an island, neutral ground, I have no word for this, median, or other?
Median.
Next question. We only have four more. What do you call it when rain falls while the sun is shining? Is it a sun shower? The wolf is giving birth. The devil is beating his wife. A monkey's wedding. Fox's wedding. A pineapple rain. Liquid sun. I have no term or expression for this or other.
A sun shower.
What about you, Phil?
I don't remember having a word for it. What do you call the night before Halloween? Gate night? Trick night? Mischief night, cabbage night, goosey night, devil's night, devil's eve, I have no word for this or other.
Devil's eve.
No kidding, man. What do you call the small freshwater lobster often found in lakes and streams? Crawfish, crayfish, craw, crowfish, a crawdad, a mudbug, I have no word for this critter or other. A crayfish. Interesting.
I'd probably call it a crawdad. Yeah, nobody cares, man.
Yeah, no one cares, bud. How do you pronounce... Here's that word, A-U-N-T. How do you pronounce A-U-N-T? With the vowel in ah, A-H, to sound like ant, with the vowel in caught. I have the same vowel in A-H, caught, and A-U-N-T, to sound like ain't. I use ah when referring to the general concept of A-U-N-T, but I use ant when I refer to a specific person. I use ant when referring to the general concept of an A-U-N-T, but I use ah when I refer to a specific person. So that would be the opposite of the or other. So in other words, it's I use ah when referring to the general concept, but I use ant when I refer to a specific person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's wild, man. Woo! All right. Was that 25 of 25? Yes, it was. So now we're waiting for the computer to spit out the answer here, Nikki. And to your... I beg your pardon?
Drum roll.
Yeah. You know what? The last answer, the crayfish answer... You, man, you ain't like nobody. They ain't nobody in the world. There's no region of the country that actually... I think there's no region of the country that actually answers that question. The least similar to you is just about 90% of the whole country. I mean, the only places that are similar to you, guess what, are the upper Midwest and the Northeast. So, you know, you're sort of still in the same general ballpark.
Well, what's going on?
I hit submit. And so, look at this, shockwave has crashed. All kinds of stuff is going on here. So while we wait for that to do whatever it's doing, we just remind you that you're a listener to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We've got some other stuff that we're going to get to here tonight. We had Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, getting into all kinds of problems, I guess, or he's got a political problem with this situation that took place in the state of, what is it? The state of New Jersey. Isn't that where he's governor?
Yes, Chris Christie's from New Jersey. Where are you at right now, Phil? You're halfway looking at that test and talking about Chris Christie.
Well, no, I want to know, because he's the governor of New Jersey. That's where the problem took place.
Yeah, and the people said the guys that worked for him butchered it.
Well, I don't know what you mean by butchered it. By the way, when is this thing going to actually... Still waiting for this thing to do its thing. Oh, Shockwave has crashed. You know what happened, Nikki? It most likely... Let me reload the page.
I broke it with my
answer. You did. Jeez, you know what? It crashed on us. Well, here's what I would suggest you do. I'm going to send you this link by way of your email address that you're going to give me here. Did you already give me your email address? Probably not. I'm going to send you this link, Nikki, and you can take the damn test without it crashing, because apparently the shockwave on our computer here crashed. It may be that there's still a lot of people taking the test. I don't know. But you were in the right general direction there anyway. Because every test that I looked at, every answer that I looked at that you gave, it was highlighting your part of the country pretty significantly. All right.
So we went through all of that for...
Never mind. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to talk about the Chris Christie debacle and this thing having to do with... I could care less, man, but we are going to have on the line here with us, not only Margaret Gray will be talking with us, but also Herb Sewell is joining us again. And I think we'll have Frank Gray back with us to talk a little bit about the political aspect of all of a sudden this guy who was the darling of everybody in the Republican Party. I mean, people love this cat in the Republican Party, and now all of a sudden the guy is hated. And he's not hated so much as he is being dismissed. He's considered a liberal. It's weird. I mean, it's weird, and it's getting weirder all the time. 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Be right back. Yes, this is Talk Radio. Anyway, welcome back to Phil Hendry Show. All right, so Doug Danger, that's what I was trying to figure out. Who the hell had we left out in the lurch?
Well, yes, Doug's been down there at the People's Choice Awards for quite some time.
So he said Doug Danger is at the People's Choice Awards. Hey, wait a minute. What happened to the story, man? Here are the winners. But we had a great story on the People's Choice Awards having to do with who was leading. Here's the in-depth coverage. Doug Danger joining us now from the People's Choice Awards. And let's talk to Doug about this. Doug, what is up? I hear it was Sandra Bullock's night, huh?
Yeah, Phil, Sandra Bullock, Justin Timberlake. I'll tell you something. I did personally predict the winner of almost every single People's Choice Award tonight, and that was Sandra Bullock. I spent the hour before the show scrolling through the red carpet photos, so I just picked the nominee who was actually in attendance. Bingo, because guess what? A lot of these people, Phil, were not here at all to accept their awards. Melissa McCarthy was, Sandra Bullock was, Justin Timberlake was here. You know, one of the big misses, the great comedic actress, was actually, I say big miss, I didn't pick her to win an award, but she was definitely here, was Melissa McCarthy. I thought that she would not win that. I thought it would be Kelly Cuoco.
Is that how you pronounce her name?
That's how I pronounce it. Ellen DeGeneres also was a big winner tonight here at the People's Choice Awards. See, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I like to think that I'm pretty dead on with these predictions, because people ask me, well, what difference does it make you a gay man, gay journalist? I'd say it makes a difference, because as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I am used to looking through people's, you know, for want of a better word, bullcrap. And because a lot of people are going to lie to you, some people are prejudiced, don't want you to know it, etc. So I am trained to look at the truth. And I can tell you right now, I did a very good job tonight predicting the winners here of this People's Choice Award. The awards are decidedly skewed toward mainstream fare this week. Cable, premium cable, and streaming shows are relegated to their own separate categories. Well, Homeland, Downton Abbey, House of Cards, They all would have given NCIS and Criminal Minds a big, big run for their money, but apparently they were relegated, I'd say, to their own category. Now, Sandra Bullock was a big winner with three trophies, plus one that she won with George Clooney for Favorite Movie Duo. Iron Man 3 won Favorite Movie and Favorite Action Movie. See, these People's Choice Awards, don't hold it against me that I'm reporting these, because obviously the general public, while they spend their money, no question they spend their money, and that's what funds a lot of the filmmaking that goes on in the studios, but the taste of the public, in the words of H.L. Mencken, nobody went broke underestimating the taste of the American people. You can't, which basically what that means is you can't go low enough to underestimate the taste of the American people. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, you know, and I can't say that I invented that saying, but I will say that I concur with it. But anyway, Sandra Bullock was the big winner, three trophies. As I mentioned, Iron Man 3 won Favorite Movie and Favorite Action Movie. The Good Wife was the favorite network TV drama. The Walking Dead, the favorite cable TV show. Homeland, favorite premium TV show. And Orange is the New Black, the favorite streaming TV show. Justin Timberlake took home three trophies for favorite album, favorite male artist, and the favorite R&B artist. The nominees are selected by national rating averages, box office grosses, music sales, and peopleschoice.com data. So let's take a look again here for the favorite movie, Iron Man 3. The favorite movie actor was Johnny Depp. Favorite movie actress, Sandra Bullock. Favorite movie duo, Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Favorite action movie, Iron Man 3. I just want to jump in and say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so the predictions that I made correctly this evening, I want to make note of that. I am a gay man and a gay journalist.
What are you repeating that for, Doug? This is Margaret. As a journalist, I have the right to ask you.
And as a journalist, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I have the right to say to you, butt out. Okay? I mean, if you want to go toe-to-toe...
Well, as a journalist, I have a right to ask the question.
And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have a right to say I don't feel like answering that question at this time. I mean, we can go on with this all night.
Hold on. What is the problem, Margaret?
Why does he have to point out that he's a gay man and a gay journalist in the middle of the listing of these awards?
I'm pointing it out so that people know that I'm alive, okay, that I exist. I'm given the names of all of these heavy hitters like Sandra Bullock, Adam Sandler, so on and so forth. Well, I'm Doug Banger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't want to get buried under all the fame and glory and glamour of these people. What the hell is so funny, Henry? Huh?
What's funny? Hey, call me Phil, not Henry.
All right, Phil.
What's funny is that you would even have that as a concern. You're a journalist, just like Margaret is. You're not the story.
I know I'm not the story, but all I'm saying is there something wrong with me saying who's making the announcement?
I made the announcement at the beginning of your report that we have Doug Banger with us.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yes, you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Now, can I continue? Because I had Margaret butt in.
I didn't butt in. I came with a journalistic question of my own.
All right, and now that I've answered your journalistic question...
No, you refused to answer it.
She's right. You did refuse to answer it. So, but now we have the answer.
Yeah, well, I did answer it, but I answered Phil.
You did not answer my question.
I answered Phil.
You did not answer my question.
I answered Phil.
Okay. God.
You know, I want to get a cigar. I'm not leaving. I just want to get a cigar.
Go ahead, get your cigar.
Oh, well, then forget it, Phil.
No, you go get the cigar.
I start all over again?
Go ahead, man, but we're, you know, burning daylight here.
The daylight's been burned, man. I don't know. You might want to check outside. It's dark out. Wow.
Yeah, Phil, haven't you been outside lately?
Yes, I have. It's a figure of speech.
Anyway, Phil, here are the People's Choice Awards again. I'm Doug Banger, gay man, gay journalist. I just want people to know, as you hear these famous names, as you hear the names of these famous movies, I want you to remember I exist and I'm in here too, all right? That's the only reason why I said that. All right, Phil, okay?
Great. Yay, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist. Here it is.
Thank you, Phil. Favorite movie was Iron Man 3. Favorite movie actor was Johnny Depp. Favorite movie actress was Sandra Depp. Johnny Bullock was the winner. I'm sorry. The favorite, let me go again. Favorite movie man was the Iron Man Heat 3. Favorite movie actress was Johnny Depp. Where am I going wrong here?
Start all over again, man. You're mixing all kinds of stuff up.
All right, here we go. Favorite movie, Iron Man 3. Favorite actress, Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is a man, hello?
I know that. Somebody wrote this down wrong. Favorite actor, Sandra Bullock?
Favorite actress.
Favorite actress, Sandra Bullock. That can't be right.
Why?
B- Because she sucks, that's why. What?
Just read what it says, man, not what you think it should say.
All right, fine. Favorite actress, Leonardo DiCaprio's a man. So that would be, favorite actress would be Leonardo DiCaprio? Hello?
Doug, what do you want from me?
I'm trying to figure out this garbage. Who did this? Let me find out where Mickey is. What is Mick doing? Mickey, get Mickey and get that other kid, that other intern we got. I want to find out who butchered this alive, huh? I'm doing a report right now on the air. All right, let me go with this again, Phil. I know what I reported. Favorite movie actors, the favorite actor is Iron Man.
That's a movie.
You're right. Hold on. Favorite movie is Iron Man 3. Favorite movie actor was Iron Man 3. Favorite movie actor? No.
Will you get it right?
No, hold on. Favorite movie, Iron Man 3. Favorite movie actor?
Johnny Depp,
there you go. Savoring the movie actor.
Savoring?
Yeah. Favoring a movie actress, Johnny Depp. I got to go through this again, Phil.
Yeah, you do that and call me back, okay?
All right, I just want people to know this is a problem, a behind-the-scenes reporting problem that I've got with my staff here. This is not my problem. I'm Doug Dang, Gay Man, Gay Journal.
I don't know. How much longer are you going to put up with that?
I think Doug does a great job.
I do, too.
You do, huh? Every other word, it's gay man, gay, 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 gay. You just don't want to be seen as a bigot.
Excuse me, but I have you on this show as a journalist, and there are a great many people, Margaret, and you've seen the mail, who find great fault with you, take great exception with the way you report things. Doug is his own thing. Today, we live in a day and age where the reporter is a star. The reporter, the person who brings us the news, the person who conveys the information, is him or herself oftentimes a big star. Now, Doug's going through all of his stuff. I have the list here.
Yeah, but hold on for a minute, because, you know, if you do that, then he's going to call up and go, oh, Phil did it.
Well, that's a good point, Mr. Henry. What are you saying?
If Phil does the People's Choice Award, then Doug Danglin, or Doug Danger's going to call up and say, what?
No, you got to put, what you said is Doug will call up and get pissed at me for announcing the names before he could.
Oh, who gives a sweet you-know-what? You should do it. People are waiting to hear.
Well, I don't know. Doug's going to give me a riot. He'll read the riot act. We got a couple of minutes. Favorite movie, Iron Man 3. Favorite movie actor, Johnny Depp. Favorite movie actress, Sandra Bullock. Favorite movie duo, Sandra Bullock and George Clooney in the film Gravity, which sounds like a fantastic film. Sounds like a lot of fun. Got to see it. Favorite action movie, Iron Man 3. Favorite action movie star, Robert Downey Jr. for Iron Man 3. Favorite movie action star? Really? Favorite comedic movie, The Heat. Favorite comedic movie actress, Sandra Bullock. Favorite comedic movie actor, Adam Sandler. Favorite dramatic movie, Gravity. Favorite dramatic movie actor, Leonardo DiCaprio. Favorite dramatic movie actress, Sandra Bullock. What, Margaret?
I don't understand.
She won in the category of comedy as well as drama.
Are they trying to tell me that she was a big fat laugh in that Gravity?
No, she was funny in The Heat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all go, oh, yeah, there she is in Gravity. She got cut off from the gravitational pull.
I get it, bud, you stupid.
All right. How much time, Nikki? 1 minute? Favorite thriller movie, Now You See Me. Favorite horror movie, Carrie. Favorite family movie, Despicable Me 3. Favorite family film that is a horror movie, Carrie. Favorite family movie that's a thriller with a guy in it that's not funny, Leonardo. I'm kidding.
Well, what are you doing now? Are you?
I'm waiting for Doug to call back, and he can do it. World famous Phil Henry Show, and Phil, and if he gives me any crap at all, in the words of Clint Eastwood, now if you give me any crap at all, there'll be more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters, more cops, more guns, more badges than you've seen in your wildest hallucinations. World famous Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Yeah.
That's right. That's bitching.
Welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So Nikki finally sent me the results of her test.
What's it say?
It absolutely, positively nailed. New York State, upstate New York, where she's from. I mean, the color code on the test, the deepest, darkest, like fire red, is where you is the closest to your answers, and then the bluest is the furthest away, and it had her right smack dab in New York State, and then it has the cities most similar, so it identifies not just the region of the not just the state or the region of the state, but also the city: Rochester, Paterson, New Jersey, and one other that I forget, but dead on, you know.
Well, why did butcher up yours?
It butchered up mine. It didn't really butcher up mine. It had me in like Salt Lake City and Tucson, but it didn't have me in California. And I think that maybe that's because I don't know what that is, you know.
Well, are you honest with the answers?
What do you mean, am I honest with the answers?
Just what I said. Were you on when it asked you, what do you call the small little roly-poly bug? What did you say?
I said pill bug.
Were you lying?
Well, it's just, hold on, Phil. It's a good, were you lying about that? If you're lying,
why would I lie about something like that?
Well, Phil, there are a number of, you call that little bug a pill bug.
Yes.
Is that a lie?
Is that what you call it?
Yes, I call it a pill bug. Why would I call it anything else?
Yeah, but why are you getting all paranoid? See, the whole reason on a test is you don't want to be paranoid.
You don't want to come across sounding paranoid.
Wait a minute. Why would anybody lie on that test?
I don't know. When you said did you say roly-poly or pill bug?
I said pill bug.
Yeah, let's...
All right.
What are you two looking at each other? What the hell are you doing?
I'm wondering, why didn't you say roly-poly?
Because I don't call it a roly-poly.
You mean you still call it a pill bug?
Margaret and Sir General...
Hold on, Phil. Don't get crazy. We're just asking questions. You don't call it a roly-poly. You got to be putting me on.
I don't call it a roly-poly.
Why not?
Because I don't call it a roly-poly. Do you want me to call it a roly-poly? I'll start, but then that would be a lie.
No, you're not going to call it a roly-poly.
I didn't call it a roly-poly on the test because I... You know what? What's the point of this?
Now, see, he's getting frustrated. The reason why this test... Look, if Harvard calls and says, why is it that Henry's test came back all just butchered up, can we use the B word?
What do you mean the B word?
The B-U-G-G.
You bet this, hold on.
Well, that's a roly-poly.
Well, you're not going to say that I was aboard a ship and I met the cabin boy and I roly-polied him, are you?
Well, that's a good point.
Why? Oh, my God, you're filthy.
Well, what am I? I can't use the word bug.
Who said you can't use the word bug? I'm saying that for you wanted, you said B-U-G-G.
Oh, you're right.
Secondly, there's no reason in the world why I would lie about that. What do you call the median in the middle of the boulevard?
What do you call that?
We used to call it a traffic island. I think it's a median.
Oh, look at that. You don't even know.
Why are you lying? Why are you lying, Mr. Henry? Why?
But I'm going to belt you.
We're only putting you on, Phil.
Yeah, see how you guys got me? I'm like paranoid.
Mr. Henry, I was going to tell you they were kidding you. But they said that don't do it. We want to mess with his mind. They like messing with your mind.
No, we don't like messing with Phil's mind. It's just, I wonder at times if Phil's mind is ready to come undone.
You would be surprised, let me tell you. No, I call it a pill bug, and we call it a frontage road. And Nikki said that they didn't have a word for that drive-through liquor. We used to call it a drive-through liquor.
You didn't call it a liquor barn.
No, we didn't call it a liquor barn. What are you laughing at?
Liquor.
You know what, bud? You're a mental midget, man. Just a mental midget.
Well, what do you expect the guy's going
to
do?
I expect the guy to just, you know, act like an adult. So, stuff like that, you know. Firefly, we don't call it lightning bug, call it firefly. And frontage road, I mentioned that. And aunt instead of aunt. And caught, we pronounce the same way. And lawyer, so the stuff that was similar to what Nikki said and some stuff that was different. The first time I took the test, it had me in Tucson, Arizona. I tried it again, and then it had me even further out.
Yes, see, with each succeeding test, you're getting further and further out. And you're going to keep taking that, Phil, till you're from Russia or someplace like that.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
It's not going to identify Russia.
Well, it'll have you from Maine or something, somewhere far, far away. And I think honesty is very important. I think that lying is useful, but honesty is useful too. But I think, well, I don't know.
You see, Margaret, you just like hearing the sound of your own voice.
If you weren't an old man.
All right, let's get Doug Danger back here, who, you know, I don't know what happened, Doug, but I know he's in his car on his way back to the Orange County Courier. So, Doug, I want to get these results in here, and I don't want to be, you know, listening to a whole lot of claptrap, okay? Did you figure out what was going on?
Well, Phil, look, it wasn't claptrap. What happened was I got a bunch of conflicting notes here from the interns, some of the people who are collecting the data for me. Now, I've been interviewing people here, and I had my notes, but they got crossed in the word processing with some of the other notes, and I had things like favorite horror movie. Was The Heat, most, and then they had things like the bloodiest, most gory movie of all time, Despicable Me. I had no idea.
The bloodiest, most gory movie of all time. Now, is it all straightened out?
It's all straightened out. So we got favorite movie Iron Man 3, favorite movie actor Johnny Depp, favorite movie actress Sandra Bullock, favorite movie duo Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, and they, of course, were in the movie Gravity, favorite action movie Iron Man 3, favorite action movie star Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man 3, favorite comedic movie The Heat, favorite comedic movie actress Sandra Bullock, favorite comedic movie actor Adam Sandler, favorite dramatic movie Gravity, favorite dramatic movie actor Leonardo DiCaprio, favorite dramatic movie actress Sandra Bullock, favorite family movie Despicable Me 2, favorite horror movie Carrie, favorite thriller movie Now You See Me, favorite year-end movie The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, favorite network TV comedy The Big Bang Theory, favorite comedic TV actress Kaley Cuoco, Big Bang Theory, favorite comedic TV actor Chris Kuiper for Glee, favorite network TV drama, The Good Wife. Favorite drama TV actress, Stana Kotick for Castle. Favorite drama TV actor, Josh Charles, The Good Wife. Favorite actor, you know what, I'm bored with this. This is Doug Danger, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay...
Did he hang up?
Yeah.
You know, that's unacceptable.
He hung up.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
But I said he got bored.
I heard what he said. You don't just say, I'm bored, and hang up.
Well, he did.
Yeah, there you go. It appears that he did, Mr. Hendry.
That is the most... give me the phone.
Oh, that's great.
Give me the phone.
Margaret.
Dial Mr. Danger's number, please.
Margaret, we're in the middle of the show here.
Don't you think I know that? Dial Danger's number now.
Yes, ma'am.
Doug? Yes, you hung up in the middle of your report. You were bored. What? You were bored stiff. Isn't that too bad? It's your report, and you were being bored. No, I was not boring you. No, I was... Doug, may you... I'd love to use some... We're on the air right now. No, you're not on the air. Can we put him on the air?
Can you... Not from that phone, no.
Well...
I can't put him on the air. Does he want to go on the air?
Will you go on the air? No, he... Why not? Why not? You hung the phone up. You sound like an ass. You know something I never did like gays? Goodbye.
Oh, man, Margaret.
Now, why would you say that?
To get him pissed off enough to call back.
Well, then he's not going to call back because he knows that you're just trying to piss him off.
Call him up again.
Oh, Ms. Gray.
Call him up again.
Margaret, I'm going to put my foot down in about 5 seconds here and tell you no.
Call him up again. Look at me like that. Doug? Margaret? What? No, don't hang up yet. Well, I don't like you... Sissies, you're a bunch of... Oh, look at that.
Well, we'll see if he calls back on that then, huh?
Yeah, he'll call back on that, because I use the big sissy word.
Oh, that's really bad. You gotta use the F word.
No, you won't.
Is he calling back?
No.
He ain't gonna call back, I'm telling you, and I'm not gonna hold the show up anymore on this silly-ass stuff. If he wanted to hang up, he wanted to hang up. And the next time I think about having him on the show, guess what? I won't. And he didn't even finish his report. The Walking Dead, Homeland, Psych, Pretty Little Liars, all kinds of shows also won People's Choice Awards. One of the things that I think is charming about the People's Choice Awards are the acceptance speeches. I think some of them are the most heartfelt, beautiful speeches that are given by a lot of these artists. In fact, one of the best that I ever heard given was Jack Nicholson. Gave an acceptance speech at the People's Choice Awards when he won for A Few Good Men. He gave a very charming speech having to do with the crew and how movies are made and the his career and how much fun it was making the movie, how much fun it was making a movie for that people like to go see. So I think that sometimes, you know, it can be fun. I like the People's Choice Awards. I'm not making any claim that they are supposed to be reflective of the art. They are reflective of the popularity of a movie. And hey, you know something? These are the folks that pay the freight, so why shouldn't they get their opinion? I thank you. I'm Phil Hendry.
Well, that just took all of the wonderful artistic efforts made by those people that create the beautiful artistic films that no one wants to go see, even though they're quality films, and you wiped with it, didn't you?
No, Margaret.
You wiped with it, didn't you?
No, I didn't, Margaret. I was saying that the people pay the freight.
You took the artistic film, though, that no one would pay a nickel to go see, and you wiped with it, didn't you?
Bill, you might as well answer. Yes, Margaret, I did.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. It's the world famous, by the way, this is very artistic, and he sold a lot of records, although not as many as Elvis Presley, John Coltrane. What do you think of that?
Are you wiping with it?
I'm playing it, no. John Coltrane.
I don't know it.
Yeah, there you go. So much for the artist.
Well, I don't know this jazz.
We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we mentioned, tomorrow night and Friday night, we won't be here tomorrow night, Friday night, or Monday, as we'll be shooting an episode of Marin with our good friend and the great Mark Maron. There's a guy. Mark Maron was a comic for a great many years, and like so many of us, was kind of stuck in a spot. You know, he couldn't really bust out and make it happen big for his career. So many stand-up comics there were. He also was on Air America for a long time, did the morning show there. He told me a story, and I said, when he told me this story, when I went in and did an interview with him for his podcast, which is a phenomenally successful podcast. Mark has a podcast that makes money, and probably, I don't doubt, makes more money than most radio shows do. That's what's going on in this world of ours, folks. That's what's happening. The podcast is beginning to overtake the radio show, and we have to. Those of us who care about radio, and I don't know how many of us there are that are left, have got to take charge and start. You know, I'd be happy to offer my services to any large radio company right now and tell you what you need to do. But you guys want to keep hiring the same dumbasses, well, you go right ahead and do it. I just heard where, I won't mention any names, but a very, very big company has invested an enormous amount of money in conservative talk hosts. Nothing against conservatives, folks. We're talking about radio programming now. And even though the audience is fleeing, even though the advertisers are fleeing, and maybe the advertisers will come back, but this turning over the talk radio, what has happened is turning over the talk radio format to political conservative talk, you've essentially destroyed the format. You've destroyed the format. And what does that do with a guy like Phil Hendry? What do? Well, now I have a premium service online. I put my show out on TuneIn. We use all kinds of other platforms because the radio brain trust, and I use that term loosely, has decided that what they'd like to do with the talk format is let's just flush it right down the toilet. We'll just pack it with a bunch of conservative talk show hosts. Not that Rush isn't great, not that Sean isn't great, but 90 million of these guys, you know, morning, noon, and night without end, that is just bad programming, folks. I don't care what anybody says. So now a station says to me, well, you know, I don't know if we can carry your show, Phil. All right, fine, because you know what, man? I've already making my money on my online, on my premium stuff. I'm making money and exposing myself, if you'll pardon the expression, exposing myself, which I can do that too, but I don't need TuneIn for that. But TuneIn, is in terms of the radio side of things.
Yeah, you're pulling your coat open on TuneIn.
Yeah, we're flashing on TuneIn. Anyway, Mark was talking to me. He said, you know, when I was doing Air America, they would take the show And we would send it back to New York. Now, I don't know whether the show was live or not, but it was sent back to New York where it would be listened to, reviewed by some mental midget at Air America, and then they would take a razor blade to this thing and butcher it up so much it was no longer funny. I said, "You're kidding." He says, "No, I'm not." He said, "We would do a bit, we would do the show, we would send it back to this moron. This guy would listen, he'd decide what's funny, he'd carve it up a new one, and by the time it hit the air, I didn't even recognize it." I said, "Well, that's, you know." So he, you know, after all of this, got the podcast going. He's featured on the front page of the New York Times. Suddenly the podcast is shooting up the charts. He's got tens of millions of people listening to it, and now he's got a television show from podcasting. Air America didn't do that for him. Radio didn't do that for him. Podcasts and people finding it, that's what did it for him. And I say, man, congratulations. Congratulations. Adam Carolla, there's another guy. He was bounced by CBS Radio. He was doing mornings on the CBS Infinity stations. They bounced his ass. They thought they knew better. You know, they're going to put whatever garbage they put on their stations now. Adam went down the street, started a podcast. Guess what? The guy is making seven figures a year on that podcast. That's another brain surgeon move by the radio industry. So if you wonder why nobody's listening to that crap any longer, it's because the guys that run our industry, the guys that run the radio business, I say with all due respect, and I know it sounds disingenuous, I mean this, but there's no other way of saying it. These people are flushing the whole industry down the toilet as we speak. And the guys you're hiring to give you advice on how to program are killing you, man. I mean, they're just killing you. Now you say, well, I'm not going to hire a guy like Phil Hendry. He's too much of a big mouth and a contrarian. And I'm a contrarian, I'll give you that. But I am a professional and I care about this industry. And I'm not serious about wanting to be hired by any of you guys as a programming consultant. But I'd be happy to do a memo for you and tell you exactly what you need to do. But, you know, that's...
Well, Phil, do you think these people are going to listen to you? A guy who is, in some quarters, people think you're mentally ill. You know that.
Doesn't matter to me.
You don't. It doesn't matter to you that people think that you're about as batty as a fruitcake.
Now, it doesn't matter to me. No.
And you don't care, Mr. Henry, that...
You get out of here. What is this all of a sudden? An inquest or something? I feel like I'm, Franz Kafka's The Trial or something.
That was Albert Camus. Wow.
All right. I'll do what I gotta do, man. But so I say all of that to say that we won't be here tomorrow or on Friday or on Monday, but we're gonna be blogging on our website, philhenryshow.com, which is not anything you have to get to other than a computer. We'll be blogging. We'll also be posting some pictures from the set and from various places over the next 3 days of the show. And Nikki and the crew there will have great shows up for us on radio and online. And we'll be in touch with you that way. So it's going to be a beautiful thing. I guarantee it.
Now, have you studied your lines and are you prepared?
Yes, I am. I've studied my lines and I am prepared. And I also saw who else is in the cast. And there's a couple of other radio cats. I don't want to give it away, but there's a couple of other guys that are in the cast. Great guys. It'll be great to see them again. A very Jersey scandal over a traffic jam is becoming a major political liability here for Chris Christie. The New York governor on Wednesday angrily denounced his own aides for newly released emails indicating that they schemed to punish a local mayor by closing lanes to the George Washington Bridge that served this man's town. Now, state Democrats are calling for a grand jury to investigate the bridge scheme, which could ensnare Christie in controversy as he plunges into his new role as the head of the Republican Governors Association. The pettiness and vindictiveness of his close aides reflect poorly on Christie's own judgment, says Anna Navarro, Republican consultant. This speaks to character and to leadership. It is a serious matter, and Chris has to treat it that way. He has some explaining and house cleaning to do. Well, sure, he's got house cleaning to do. Fire the hell out of these guys. Why do they feel emboldened to do stuff like this? Does it have anything to do with the tone set there in the governor's office? If it is, he's got to come clean. If it isn't, then speak honestly. And if people don't want to believe it, they can drop down and pucker up, buttercup.
I heard that.
Jeez. So anyway, there it is, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Always happy to be of service here, folks, as we get into the meat of the matter, man. Well, good luck, Gov. I don't know. What do you want me to say about it?
What is this, Walk Like a Man by the Four Seasons?
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think the governor needs to walk like a man.
Is that a... You know that the governor can't do anything other than... And I don't mean this as a joke, ladies and gentlemen. He can waddle like a man... Never mind.
Oh, that was real great, Martin.
I hate you.
We'll see you later.